It's a hymn book. Here's a Bible. There's plenty more. If you need a Bible, just ask. I'm so glad you give a Bible because I actually want you to read your Bibles. We spoil you with a screen. It's way better to read the Bible. And it will be good for you to keep the Bibles open because I'm going to refer back to Scripture, but I told Grace not to do it on the screen. We can go back to Scripture in our Bibles as well this morning. Mark chapter 1, 13, 14, sorry, 20. After John, that's John the Baptizer, and remember I've always said he's not John the Baptist. He might be the Presbyterian, but I don't think he was a Baptist. After John, the baptizer, was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Sons of thunder. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat for the hired men and followed. So as we continue this little series, Living a Different Life, this morning I'm going to speak about an offer and an invitation. You can't have the one without the other to go together. I'd like to start by asking you a question. Don't answer the question immediately. Question. Would you consider yourself to be a disciple? A follower? A student? Listen to the questions I'm not asking. I'm not asking whether you are a believer. I'm not even asking whether you're a Christian. I'm not even asking whether you are saved. That's the most important question. I'm not asking any of these questions. I'm only asking, would you consider yourself to be a disciple? The reason for the question is because of this. It's only when we deliberately choose to walk on this path of discipleship, of lifelong learning, lifelong formations in Jesus. It's only when I wholeheartedly embrace Jesus as my teacher, my mentor. It's only when I live my daily life in such a way that my daily life starts coinciding with His life and His world, in following Him, in obeying Him, in learning from Him. It's only when this comes together that I will be able to experience the realities of God's kingdom in the realities of my life. I will only be able to do the only become part of my life when I can answer this question. Am I a disciple? I know it's all difficult, so let me unpack it. That's much easier. It starts with an offer, and let me take you back, and that's why I say keep your Bibles open. After John, verse 14, was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. What is the good news? What is the good news? Many people think good news is, I said to people, given, I'm going to heaven. So what's the good news? Jesus gives the answer. Time has come, said Jesus, sins are forgiven. I know Jesus. And when I die, one day I will go to the kingdom of God, and that will be in heaven, and we'll be in God's kingdom. No. That's half truth. We're going to God. We're going to be with God. The real truth is the kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, here's good news, has come into this world. Accept that kingdom and live that kingdom in this world. It's part of this world. I can be part of God's kingdom in this world. That's the best news in the world. In the Greek, he uses the word euangelion, euangelion in the Dutch, gospel. The best news you'll ever hear. The kingdom of God is here and now, and it's available for you. There's an offer. Live that kingdom. Allow me to say a little something about kingdom. You go look on my shelf, you go look on Timothy's shelf, you see we've got hundreds of books on the kingdom of God. Thousands have been written about that, so I'm not even going to say I'm a scholar of the kingdom, I'm not. But let me try and say in plain, simple Canadian, well, Canadian with a Dutch accent, English, what I think the kingdom of God is all about, what this offering is all about. The kingdom of God is an invitation to take up our feet, to live. A life in which my relationship with God becomes so that I know God. Not as a distant God, as that method would seem much, much more distant, but as my Father that I can go to and say, can I talk to you about my kids who are in university? It's an intimate life because my relationship with Jesus Christ becomes more than that of Jesus and me. It becomes Jesus and me. And you will see that in what I do and what I don't do, and where I go and where I don't go, what I take and what I don't take, what I say and what I don't say, because He touches my life in such a way that we have this kind of relationship. It's an intimate life because Holy Spirit of God, Parakletos, becomes my real advocate. My feet, the one who picks me up when I have come to the point that I don't know how to do it. That's the good news. It's a shared life. I share this life with recovering sinners like myself, as all of us are sitting here recovering sinners. When I start sharing that, I know I can go to my friend Dave and say, Dave, let's talk about this walk with Jesus. How are you doing? Because I'm struggling. Can you talk to me now? I can go to Papa George and I can say, Papa George, can I sit with you and just pray with you a little bit because I need that. And I know Papa George is not going to judge me because tomorrow Papa George is going to say, can you pray with me? What? Because what? It's sharing life. It's not just going up and saying, hey, you're the Bible. Life is a transformed life. That's the whole thing. When I give this life to Jesus and I say, you take this life and make it whatever you want to make it. Teach me to live as a child of the King. Not in the ashes. That song we sang, I was taken from the ashes. It's a transformed life. It's a loving life. It's a life in which you can look at each other and say, I'm different from you. We're not all the same. We don't all think the same. We don't all do the same. But I love you because that's how Jesus loves me. He started loving me even before I knew Him and loved Him and followed Him. Human life is a joyful life. Are we getting old? Are we growing old? Are we more grumpy? Started it beautifully. Oh, outside the Sea of Galilee, verse 16, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting out a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Here's the invitation. Come, follow me, be my Can I give you, I gave you five things of the kingdom. Can I give you two things that are marks of a disciple? First thing that is the mark of a disciple. Someone who is prepared to go on a lifelong journey learning from Jesus. Disciple is someone who is prepared to go on a lifelong journey of learning from Jesus. He's often called in the scriptures rabbi. You know what rabbi means? Teacher. One of our members here, she comes from Egypt. She calls me Abuna. In Egyptian, that means teacher. I always say to her, that is a title that I don't deserve, but what a beautiful blessing when she says Abuna. Jesus was a rabbi. What do rabbis do? Rabbis taught students. But they taught these students to become their students and to be like them, to go take their teaching into the world. So if you wanted to become a student of a rabbi, you had to apply. You would go to the rabbi and you would take your curriculum vitae with you, and you would take all your marks with you to show how brilliant you are, how excellent you are. You had to have a clean record to become part of his group. You had to be one of the best scholars. You had to be able to recite the Torah from front to back and from back to front. Only then might this rabbi consider you to be a student. If he decides to take you on as a student, he would be in probation for 6 months. After 6 months, he would evaluate again and decide whether you are really good enough. And only the best of the best would be allowed to study under the rabbi. As a rabbi, Jesus is so good. What does he do? He goes to his fishermen and he says, "Come become my disciples. Come learn from me. I know you're not the best. You might not be the brightest. You don't have the best CV in the world. You have a little bit of a reputation. James and John, sons of thunder." That's what it meant. First and then something else. "I know you don't have the best reputations. Would you allow me to teach you so that you can become my student? So that you can become like me? You can learn from me to become my question is, do you consider yourself a disciple?" The first part of the disciple is someone who's prepared to go to Jesus and say, "Take me and learn to teach me." You guys go to school. Every year you get a new teacher. When you sit for that teacher, it changes your life. Because he or she puts something of themselves into your life. Some of them are great teachers. Some of them are not great teachers. They put something into your life. That's where discipleship is. You guys go to school. They teach you. This is how we want to go on. This is, each one of them has their own way. Jesus says, "Teach you about real life. I'm going to teach you to live life." See, mark of a disciple. It is someone who will embark willingly on a walk of journey. Allow me, Jesus, transform inner transformation. Let me take you back to Scripture, and Grace, I'd like that. Jesus says, come follow me. And then our verse says, and I will send you out to fish for people. And I'm sorry to say, but that's a really bad translation. And I know about translations. I was privileged to translate 16 of the 39 books of the Old Testament. Hebrew never made it to a nice Suffolk translation. So I know how translations work. You have glasses. And you have your own little hermeneutic little key in which you work, so I get it. And I know what they were trying to say, but it takes away the meaning of what Jesus is saying. So let me do this in Greek for you. Kai epen autois, or yes, so he said to them, Jesus, deute opiso mou, come, follow me. And then, these are the words, kai oieso, and I've used this word before, oieo, and I said it sounds like poem. Omas kenestai aletheis antropo. Come, and I will make. The word poieso is not the word for send or send out. It's the word make. Go to the next slide, please. The word poieo is a verb. It means I do, I make, I manufacture, I construct. So the next slide says, look at the other translations. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Translation is wrong. Jesus has a call. He says, thanks, Grace. He says, come to me, I will make you. The word to send in Greek, all of you actually know. It's actually send out. All of you know that word. You've used it. It's the word stello. But usually we put another word in there. To send off means to apostello. Apostle. Apostle. It's the Greek word apostello, which means to send out. It's not the Greek word that's used there. He says, I will make you. That's the second mark. Someone who is prepared to allow Jesus to transform me this way. Jesus says, come to me. I will make you. I will form you. I will recreate you. I will transform you. I will make you over. If you allow me. If you allow me. You can't do it on your own. He gets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us where we are. He takes us as we are, and then he takes us and says, and now we transform. It's easy to say, right? It's easy to say, oh yeah, well, Jesus changed me. Do you remember my old story about the five frogs? Five frogs in a rock, one decides to jump, how many left? Decided, and that's what we often do. Yes, Jesus, you can change me, but I sit like a frog on that rock and I don't change. There's a beautiful story. A friend of mine, Trevor Hudson, you know I like Trevor very much, South African guy. Trevor had a new colleague and the two of them went jogging at this one dam. We don't have lakes in South Africa, we have dams. So they went jogging at this one dam, and as they were jogging, he saw a guy called Bill, and he's known Bill for 20 years. He says, Bill drinks stuff that you shouldn't be drinking. Bill smokes stuff that you shouldn't be smoking. As Bill sees the two of them jogging, he comes up and says, hey, Trevor. So they kind of stop and say hello, but boy, they smell Bill half a mile off. Oh, my goodness. Bill comes up and says, hey, Trevor, how are you doing? Oh, good, Bill, good to see you. This is my new colleague, Gavin. Bill looks at Gavin, says to Gavin, you see this guy?